Good morning, and thank you for your patience. The South Dakota Senate will now come to order, and leading us in our prayer is Reverend Carl Kroger of the Southeastern Methodist Church here in Pierre, and leading us in our Pledge of Allegiance today is one of our pages, Aspen Ducheneau from Eagle Butte.
Let us pray. Holy God, for your guidance and provision, we give you thanks. For your steadfast love, we stand amazed. As the agenda of this body draws to a close, may you bless their work, their diligence, and their care. May their accomplishments be to the better of our state and to your glory. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary, call the roll, please.
Adelstein, Begalka, Bradford, Brown, Buell, Cutler, Frericks, Frisley, Gray, Hansen, Haverly, Heineman, Holeen, Hunstead, Hunhoff, Johnston, Junkie, Kraus, Krebs, Lederman, Maher, Nelson, Nostrup, Nygaard, Olson, Peters, Putnam, Rampelberg, Rabe, Roden, Schleckaway, Sutton, Tiedemann, Teason, Valley. Quorum present, Mr. President.
Approval of the journal, please.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 31st day. All errors typographical or otherwise are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move adoption of the report. Bob Gray, Chair.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Executive Communications.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, I have the honor to inform you that on March 1, 2012, I approved the Senate bills 22, 37, 42, 46, 47, 62, 65, 66, 70, 73, 81, 82, 83, 84, 90, 93, 100, 104, 108, 111, 113, 116, 128, 137, 154, 176, 177, and 196. And the same have been deposited in the office of the Secretary of State. Respectfully submitted, Dennis Dugard, Governor.
Our next item of business is reports of conference committees. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, you have distributed on your desk purported to be a conference committee report on 77. I'm going to rule that report out of order, as it's not, in my estimation, germane or appropriate with what the rules are at conference committee. It is a report that has come out indicating that they've adjourned and could not reach agreement, but that is out of order because the committee needs to meet and make a determination on a recommendation to you as a body to either not concur and reappoint or to concur and appoint. And therefore, I'm ruling that report out of order and that I am interpreting the adjournment as a recess, and that committee needs to reconvene and make a determination one way or the other. If people want to challenge or appeal my rule, I'd certainly entertain that at this time, but please remember, if this were not our rule, then we could adjourn on any bill in any conference without coming to an agreement, and therefore the import or the impact of the rule that there must be at least one conference committee would cause the whole system to deteriorate, and people could adjourn all the time without taking action, and that is not the rule. That's not the purpose of the rule, and that's not action. So I'll open up for any question or appeal. Hearing none, it's so ordered. Please continue, ma'am.
Report. Mr. President.
I'm sorry, Senator.
If I could just ask for a clarification.
Yes, sir.
The Conference Committee for Senate Bill 77 should go back into conference then. Is that correct?
That is correct. And let me reiterate, in my estimation, I noticed that they adjourned, but I'm interpreting that by virtue of my ruling as they've recessed. They need to reconvene. In order to do that, we need to get those same individuals whom you appointed from here in the House to ascertain a time, and then we will announce it. I'm sure we're going to recess in a bit, and so we can announce it at any time through the day. Thank you for that clarification. Any other questions on that? Okay. Thank you, Senator Gray.
Report of Conference Committee. Mr. President, the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 139 has met and made a recommendation, respectfully submitted Jacqueline Sly, House Committee Chair, and Phyllis Heineman, Senate Committee Chair.
Okay, we'll defer the rest of the business, 139, et cetera, until we're ready, and we'll do the page resolution later this afternoon based on your direction. Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. President. Immediately after we go into recess, the Senate Republicans will caucus.
Any other announcements before we recess? Thank you, Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've just been asked to announce that it's Read Across America Day, and it's, of course, celebrating Dr. Seuss, and they're going to do the Cat in the Hat down here in the rotunda, and I think at 1 o'clock today is when they'll be there, so feel free to watch from the from up above or get down at their level and join them. So it sounds like there could be 80 elementary students, and the folks, of course, with SDA will be there. So thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Frerichs. Any other announcements? Madam Secretary, you have a motion to recess.
Senator Brown moves that the Senate do now recess until 1:30.
All those in favor of recess signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back the South Dakota Senate. Give it up for Fee, will you? Give it up for Fee. Yeah. Give it up for the front staff. Give it up for the front. Huh? Give it up. Come on, get up. Jeanette, stand. Be embarrassed.
Thank you for all that you've done for us, and that was all in lieu of a bonus. Thank you. Hey.
Sorry.
Reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Office of Engrossing and Enrolling has carefully compared Senate Bills 91 and 130 and finds the same correctly enrolled. Bob Gray, Chair.
Messages.
Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has adopted the report of Conference Committee on Senate Bill 130. I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has failed to adopt the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 77 and no new committee was appointed. I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has adopted the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 91. And I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has adopted the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 139. Karen Gerd is Chief Clerk.
Dr. Seuss is in the House.
Ready for motions? Okay. Motions and resolutions.
Senate page resolution number 4. A resolution expressing the appreciation and gratitude of the Senate of the 87th Legislature of the State of South Dakota to Sean Day Antoine, Brooke Clark, Rachel Day, Peter Delgado Jr., Aspen Ducheneau, George Walker Iverson, Michaela Nepper, Nick Reagan, and Allison Stahl. Whereas the above named served loyally as pages for the Senate of the 87th Legislative Session, and whereas the members of the 87th Senate express their most sincere appreciation to these young people for their service to the state, and whereas the members extend to these young people their wishes for every success in life, now therefore be it resolved by the Senate of the 87th Legislature of the State of South Dakota that a personal copy of this resolution be duly certified and furnished to each page on this last day of service. Senator Krebs moves that the Senate page resolution 4 be adopted.
All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Senator Krebs, you have the floor, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. President. And we have Senate pages, please stand. On behalf of all of us here at the Senate body, we want to expressly and sincerely give us our huge thanks for what you've done for us. And we have two things that we want to send you off with. Number one, a huge welcome. But number two, the encouragement to stay involved. on behalf of us as elected officials, we have allowed you to see a huge opportunity here to watch democracy in action. We want you to go back, tell your friends and your family how the taxpayer system works here in these chambers, and that we will encourage you to send your friends back here to visit. We also want you and expect you to go back into your communities in your future years to get involved, whether it be in a volunteer capacity or in an elected official capacity. So we sincerely thank you for your outstanding leadership. Obviously, you're leaders within your own schools, and we can tell that, and we commend you for being here, and we're just grateful, but more importantly, hopeful that you continue to stay involved. So on behalf of the entire Senate body, we thank you sincerely for your work this last 2 weeks. Senator Bradford is
Senator Bradford has
the resolutions.
Them. You have them all?
Senator Bradford,
I guess
has
we'll
all
find out.
Go ahead.
Everyone with a yellow shirt. His is white. Brian's is white. Sorry. Valley has a yellow shirt. Ladies and gentlemen, our pages.
On behalf
personal privilege grant.
Sorry, Lieutenant. On behalf of the Senate pages, we would like to first of all thank Page Mom Barb, all the senators, the clerks, Sergeant of Arms, and everyone who made this experience for us really worthwhile. We've really enjoyed it, and we've enjoyed getting to work for you and getting to know all of you. So we really thank you for this experience and opportunity.
Very nice. Okay, next order of business. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Yep, thank you. Senator, do you have... Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've got the next generation of South Dakotans and South Dakota leaders, I think, that we always... we thank the pages, and then we thank the next level up, and that's our interns. These young adults have got to witness something that most people in South Dakota will never get the opportunity to see, and that's to see what goes on behind the scenes and to be part of the process. And I can't tell you enough how proud I am of this group of young individuals. Anytime you ask them to do something, they'd say, fine. And if I've said this a couple different times now. The only thing wrong with this group of interns is we didn't keep them busy enough because they were doing such a good job for us. So I really can't say enough about how proud I am of this group, and I hope they enjoyed their experience. 20 years ago next year, I was standing right where you are, except for in that other place across the street. And I was an intern, and I tell you, it did. It changed my life having been part of that process. And so I hope that we have done the process well in your eyes as elected officials and as policymakers for the great state of South Dakota. And again, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the hard work that you put into this process.
Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. President. And in today's day and age, you may go back and look back on this session And maybe you'll be able to Google some of the piece of legislation that you have helped work on and be able to see, you know, where that is at to this day. It might be a commemoration. It might be perhaps even an amendment that you helped to make sure and be distributed and then communicated to everyone else. You know, your impact on our process may not always be noticed, because in those searches you may not find your name at that point. But we know it won't be very long, and your impact to this entire state will be very much visible. And so thank you for being there with us. Obviously in times of where we need your help right away, and at times where we wished your help was there 2 hours before, even to help us in that time of need. Thank you so much for your dedication to those of us here in the Senate, and thanks for being good representatives of the, you know, the future of South Dakota here, and obviously from a post-secondary level. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. In reading, this is a certificate of appreciation presented to each individual intern who worked so hard in service to the Senate and to your state. In recognition of the outstanding service given to the 2012 South Dakota Legislature as a legislative intern and signed by the respective leaders, but please accept our thanks and wishes that working with all of you really indicates that the future is bright. Thank you so much for your service. Ladies and gentlemen, our interns. Thank you again. Motions and resolutions, please.
Senator Olson moves that a committee of three on the part of the Senate be appointed to meet with a like committee on the part of the House to fix the time of adjournment signee day.
Second.
All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried.
Mr. President announces as such committee Senators Teason, Krebs, and Buell. Senator Olson moves that a committee of three on the part of the Senate be appointed to meet with a like committee on the part of the House to wait upon His Excellency the Governor to inform him that the legislature has completed its labors, is ready to adjourn sine die, and to ascertain if he has any further communications to make to the legislature.
All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried.
Mr. President announces as such committee Senators Olson, Brown, and Frerichs.
Consideration or reports of conference committee.
Senate Bill 139, an act to establish the Teach for America grant program with the Department of Education and to make an appropriation therefor. Senator Heineman moves that the report of the conference committee on Senate Bill 139 be adopted.
We need to correct that, and we'll have that read over again, please.
Senator Krause moves that the report to the of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 139 be adopted.
Thank you, ma'am. Comments on that motion, Senator Krause. Thank
yes,
you.
Briefly, Mr. President. Thank you. The Conference Committee met, and we did make a couple of we did make one amendment on page 2 of the House Appropriations Committee engrossed bill. We deleted lines 19 through 24. Because that funding allowed in those lines is being covered within the appropriations bill. And then Section 3 became, this act is effective on June 20th, 2012, and that change was made so that the Teach for America program could be prepared to be used starting this summer, and then we would delete page 3. So I would ask your concurrence on this amended conference committee report. Thank you.
We'll be at ease for a second. That's not true for half a minute. I just needed to follow to make sure that this requires a simple majority. Further remarks, Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to just speak to the bill. There's some confusion a little bit in what the bill wants to do and what it will do. It wants to raise student achievement, and it spoke about affecting 2/3 of Native American students, and of course, you've already heard my talk about that. I guess what I have a problem with is if I read the bill as it says recruitment and placement in public school, I have a little problem because our tribes are sovereign, and those tribal schools are the ones we're trying to reach. And so I've had several. I want to do things, but I think they ought to really do what you want to do. And I think, hey, this is a good investment if it does what we as a body want to do. I have some problems with the fact that our tribal schools, they say what I've talked to that a tribal school is a public school federally funded. But the tribes themselves don't look at it that way. They think their schools are tribal schools, not public schools. Because if they were a public school, they would fit into our common school finances. So I'm just a little bit worried that down the line we might find whether we have, and we all know in the Constitution it says in common school. And by that reference, we mean public school. So I'm very much in favor. I hope it accomplishes what we want to accomplish. Then the other thing about it is that I expect the part on page 2, the lines 10 through 16 are what we expect back. I hope we're all here in this body and can look at this, because the report back to us of what we got, as we say, what we got to bang for our buck, is that in the end, that the progress of Teach for America expansion efforts in South Dakota, including the number of teachers placed and the number of students impacted and the results that Teach for America is achieving in closing the achievement gap. That's what we're all about here. We're going to raise those students' achievement. And I think we're all for that. Hey. But could this investment have been made in another way? I want to express a problem, and this is where I got the people on the reservation that were against the bill. The money will go to Teach for America, and they will use this money to recruit a teacher to come down and teach at, I'll use Crazy Horse Wombly School, which they did. Before that teacher walks in the classroom, Crazy Horse School will give Teach for America $3,000. Now, what the problem was, Crazy Horse School didn't have the $3,000. They had to, they go walk into school, they receive a regular teacher's pay. They get everything any teacher would get. But they're required to pay $3,000 up and beyond. This is where the problem came in. They didn't have that in their budget. They didn't have that extra money. So they had to go to the Tribal Educational Consortium and get that money. But the Tribal Education Consortium informed me that they're having a hard time getting that money. I guess my point was, if early on, if I'd have had all this, I would have asked that part of the money be dedicated to that area. You understand me? To go directly, and that would stay within our area. That would stay within South Dakota. That would not go to Teach for America, wherever they're at. The other thing I hope that is that we really kind of follow the rule. This money isn't supposed to go anywhere until there's a match. So I would hope that the match is brought forward so we know exactly what our dollars are doing. I have a great deal of passion for the education of my grandchildren. So I really thank, you know, South Dakota for, but I do think in my heart that we might have got it into a closer working with our own people that would have maybe lifted that achievement gap. So with that, as you know, I urge you to go ahead and vote for the bill. Thank you.
Senator Johnston.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Bradford. I've really appreciated continuing the communication with you throughout this process. As you all know, Senate Bill 139 has had multiple, I think five different hearings between House, Senate, appropriations on both sides, and it has been well discussed. And the thing that I want to remind everybody, that this effort is to help expand the Teach for America core membership into the Crow Creek, Cheyenne River, and Lower Brule reservations. Last night I had the opportunity to speak with South Dakota's own Keith Moore. As you all remember Keith from being the Indian Education Coordinator for the Department of Education, now has the dubious job of being the Director of the Bureau of Indian Education for the entire country. And through the course of conversation with Keith last night, he expressed numerous times how proud he is that we're able to finally get to the point where the state of South Dakota is going to support Teach for America in the way, even though it's a small way, and a small $250,000 appropriation, but to have the impact that, Teach for America is going to, with this expansion, to bring to the students of Crow Creek, Lower Brule, and Cheyenne River. And so I'm really proud of Senator Heineman and the work that she's done on, with this, you know, on this effort for numerous years now. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate your favorable consideration on Senate Bill 139.
Further remarks. Senator Adelstein.
Mr. Chairman, I certainly appreciate this expansion to other reservations. And with all fairness to the senator, really my dear friend for many years from Shannon County, I've dealt with the young Teach for America students for over 10 years. It happens a number of them are Jewish, and they come to Rapid City, which is a long way and a lot smaller than any synagogue they ever visited. Their devotion, their care about their students, their 24-hour and weekend commitment to picking up students and bringing them there, their interceding with parents that have no interest, their willingness to stand up, frankly, to a political system which they neither understand nor appreciate, has been outstanding. Now, Senator, if Crazy Horse School, if what stands between Crazy Horse School and Teach for America teachers is $3,000 per student, in addition to my participation in matching part of this grant, I will personally give to that school the $3,000 for each teacher next year. I urge the passage of this concurrence. I certainly congratulate one of the other senators from Pennington County for her persistence and her caring about what really happens to young people in South Dakota, all young people in South Dakota. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is Senator Krause's motion that the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 139 be adopted. The Conference Committee report has removed the appropriation, therefore it's a simple majority vote. Those in favor of adoption will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein. Adelstein.
Aye.
Bugalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown. Buell,
aye.
Cutler,
aye.
Frericks,
aye.
Frisley,
aye.
Gray, Hansen, Haverly, Heineman, Holine, Hunstad, Hunhoff, Johnston, Junkie, Krause,
aye.
Krebs,
aye.
Lederman,
aye.
Maher,
aye.
Nelson, Nostrup, Nygaard, Olson,
aye.
Peters, Putnam, Rampelberg,
aye.
Rave,
aye.
Roden,
no.
Schleckaway,
aye.
Sutton, Tiedemann, Teason, Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 21, nays 2, excused 12.
Senator Krause's motion that the Conference Committee on SB 139 be adopted, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, is hereby declared passed, and the Conference Committee report is so adopted. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do something very unusual and out of the ordinary for close to a decade. A number of us, please come up here, Eka. A number of us have come to know Eka, who's emigrated here to a place that people yearn to come to for freedom, a place where normal individuals that didn't come from a hierarchy, like a Dennis Dugard or a Matt Michaels, didn't come from wealth, could be in service like all of you. We were called. And I think that for those of us who've been blessed to live other places, understand how people yearn for the shores of our freedom, whether it's South Dakota or some other place. Eka's call is back home to the Sudan after 10 years to take care of family there and his obligation to build a country that is about individual rights, about dreams, and that you can turn those dreams into opportunities. And Eka, for 10 years, you've been here working in the background so that you could publish and broadcast to everybody that this is what freedom is all about. We send you your prayers, and we wish you God's blessing. Any other announcements? Senator Olson.
I don't know how you top that, but I would move that we recess until 4 o'clock this afternoon.
All those in favor of recess signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Other announcements? Okay, we are in recess. The President is signing an act to allow shareholders of corporations to represent corporations in property tax appeals at the Office of Hearing Examiners. And that's Senate Bill 91. The President is signing an act to require the school board of each school district to adopt a policy prohibiting bullying. That's Senate Bill 130. The Senate will reconvene. We'll revert to communications, please.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, I have the honor to inform you that on March 2, 2012, I approve Senate Bills 48, 53, 68, 71, 78, 103, 112, 156, 174, 186, 188, 191, 192, and 195, and the same have been deposited in the Office of the Secretary of State. Respectfully submitted, Dennis Dugard, Governor.
Reports of committees, please.
Mr. President, the Committee on Appropriations respectfully reports it has had under consideration Senate Bill 197, and returns the same with the recommendation that said bill be amended. Corey Brown, Chair.
Consideration reports of committees.
Senator Olson moves that the reports of the Standing Committee on Appropriations on Senate Bill 197 be adopted.
All those in favor of that motion of adoption signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 197, an act to appropriate money for the ordinary expenses of legislative, judicial, and executive departments of the state, the expenses of state institutions, interest on the public debt, and for common schools.
Thank you. Senate Bill 197, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Brown, good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a good bill, and I would encourage you to support it. Thank you. I'm joking. When we started out this year, I know that certainly from the Republican caucus, we had a number of goals that we wanted to achieve. And in large part, it was due to some of the very difficult decisions that we made last year to get our house in order that allowed us to do the things that we wanted to do this year. Number one, and it was a primary priority not only for myself, but I think for many of us, having corrected the structural deficit that existed last year, one of our number one priorities was to maintain a sound, balanced budget that was structurally sound as well. In other words, we weren't going to try to continue to pay for ongoing expenses with one-time money. We weren't going to rob the savings account in order to keep ongoing programs running. And because of the efforts that we had made last year, we were in a very good spot to be able to do that this year. I always had to laugh when I've talked to people as we went into this legislative session this year. They said, it's really interesting that you guys all of a sudden have all of this newfound money as you come in to look at your fiscal year 2013 budget. Ladies and gentlemen, that was always part of the plan. It was make the cuts last year, and then we can return to moderate growth. In fact, I think this is illuminating because sometimes numbers are hard to perceive, especially when you don't have the context. You know, at the end of the day, we're talking about a $4 billion budget. We're talking about nearly $1.2 billion in general funds, and that's the part that we tend to focus on, especially in the Appropriations Committee. When you look at those revenue projections, though, and I think this is important for everyone to remember, we're essentially at a place where we've got revenues that are equal to about 4 years ago in 2008. That's just how drastic of a downturn that took. And so back now today, as we look towards the 2013 budget, we have started a slow to moderate growth. As you guys have heard numerous times over the last 33 days of session, though, there's good reason for caution. Not only what can happen to us on the international front, which will certainly have an impact here in South Dakota, but essentially we just went through 6 months of drought. And some of that's turned around now in the last few weeks. But realizing that agriculture is our number one industry in this state, you can imagine the kind of impact that would have to state government if we were to see that number one industry suffer. So I think one of the other priorities, at least for the appropriators as we went into this, was to try to be cognizant about what could be out there in the future and to make sure that when we adopted revenue estimates, that they were cautious. They were conservative estimates that will keep us in good standing. You know, there used to be a time and a place, I think, in this legislature where there was a tendency to try to overestimate those revenues so there would be extra dollars for the legislature to spend at the end of the day. In the 4 years that I've been here, it's been interesting to me. In at least three of those years, the Appropriations Committee has actually adopted revenue estimates that were lower than both the LRC and BFM estimates. And even this year, we ended up essentially taking the lowest of those estimates as we went forward in an effort to try to be cautious. All said and done, you have before you tonight Senate Bill 197. This is essentially the bill that's going to allow state government to be funded for fiscal year 2013, which will run from July 1st of this year until June 30th of 2013. Without an affirmative vote on Senate Bill 197, essentially you're saying you don't want any money to go to education. You essentially don't want any money to go to Medicaid if you choose to vote no on Senate Bill 197. Without this bill, we don't have the ability to do those programs that we've deemed are necessary as a state. When you take a big, broad picture look at Senate Bill 197, essentially you see what we've done is we've put 48% of those funds towards education. I always laugh when people say, well, education should be a priority for this state. If we haven't demonstrated that this year, I'm not sure when we possibly could. Half of our general fund budget is going to go to education. On top of that, what we did with House Bill 1137, essentially we took a lot of the extra revenue that we had in fiscal year 2012 and decided to dedicate that to schools. 75% of the excess revenue from 2012, this Senate, and ultimately the House agreed, ended up going to K-12 education. Certainly that seems to indicate to me that's a priority for this legislature. Another 38% of this budget is essentially going to taking care of people is a category that's often used. By and large, that's our Medicaid providers who do an amazing service for this state. Until I had come down to Pier, I didn't realize that nearly two-thirds of the people on Medicaid were children under the age of 18. In addition to what you see in Senate Bill 197, I would remind folks that we did put another piece in 1137, which essentially put another $5.5 million towards our Medicaid providers, specifically in the area of salaries. As is usual, about 10% of this budget goes towards protecting people. Essentially, that's our courts, our Department of Corrections, etc. And everything else that you think of as state government is going to be the remaining 4% of that budget. You know, this certainly has not been an easy couple of years. We've struggled with budget deficits for the first 3 years that I was down here in the legislature. It was a little unusual for me this year to actually have to deal with revenues that were increasing to try to figure out where those were going to go. And I think as a caucus, as a Republican caucus, one of the priorities we said is that if there are going to be additional revenues, and there were some moderate revenues, we were going to try to target those to specific programs in the state that could get the most bang for the buck. We were going to find areas to put those additional dollars where essentially we felt they were the priorities for our state government. And because of that, one thing that is not often noted here, and really only those that sat through all of the agency reviews will know, none of the rest of the state agencies, by and large, saw any kind of increase other than the salary policy that we ultimately approved. Basically, their budgets were held flat to what they were last year. Essentially that means we chose a couple of key areas, Medicaid and education, that we were going to make priorities, and that's where we put those dollars. With that, I would certainly thank not only the appropriators who have worked very hard to produce 197 for you, but I also think it's worth recognizing our LRC staff and our committee secretaries who spent an enormous amount of time trying to get us the information that we needed to be able to do a good job. With that, I would certainly encourage your support of Senate Bill 197.
Thank you. Further remarks, Senator Sutton. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the body, we almost made it. Just about there. What a session, huh? We've had some lively debates, some interesting topics. As an appropriator, I want to thank the members of the committee, not only in the Senate, but in the House, for the diligent job that they've done. Every one of you, and every one of you legislators, has done a great job. And I'm proud of having a balanced budget. I think that's something that we can all be proud of as South Dakotans. Not many states can say that year after year, but we can. That's a good thing. I went in looking at Senate Bill 197, and I had made up my mind I was going to support it. Well, we get to committee, and I found a couple things disturbing. But mainly what I found disturbing is that we as a body, well, let me clarify. We as 105 legislators are leaving money from the bottom line to revert back to reserves. My decision at that time has changed. Maybe that's hard for some to understand. But I have heard from schools and I have heard from providers, and I believe that these dollars could have went towards helping them more. And yes, we have put more money back into education and for Medicaid, but they still don't make up for the cuts that we made. Do I wish that we could do more for base funding? Absolutely. Is that feasible right now? Probably not. But my concern is that we as a state have taken it as a task to not use one-time money for ongoing expenses. That's a good plan. It's a very good plan. We saw what trouble that could get us into. But by using one-time money for education, And don't get me wrong, any money we can give to education is good. But we're telling them to use one-time money to budget. So are we not possibly creating structural deficits for education? For this reason, I have struggled with supporting 197. And for the reason that we are putting more money into our state coffers when it could be used to go to education or Medicaid, I cannot support this bill. I thank you for giving me the time to talk, and it's been a joy being here with everybody, and I hope that many of us will be back again. And so with that, I'll stand down.
Further remarks on Senate Bill 197. Senator Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, first off, I want to thank Senator Brown for his leadership in the Senate and Representative Wink for the leadership in the House of the Joint Appropriations Committee. It was their leadership that helped us reach the goal. If you remember last year, we ended it with about $2.5 million at the bottom of the line. We didn't spend all the money last year either. But I saw that as seed that helped in bringing the economy around. We can come back next January, those who are lucky enough to be reelected, and if there's $4.1 million left on the bottom line at that time, we can reallocate it out. We have that flexibility. But remember, I think the words of Senator Brown is that we need to be cautiously optimistic. Let's not spend what we don't have. We took a very conservative estimate of revenue, very dependent upon the ag economy, very dependent upon what happens across the world. And we know that what happens across the world can have a negative impact quickly upon this state. We're not an island. We should be thankful that our state is doing so well. We're one of the few that's not making cuts this coming year. We're one of the few that's being able to put money back into where we did make cuts last year. No, it's not perfect. We would have loved to have had more money, but I think we're doing the judicious thing. And speaking of that, we also did expend some money for expanding the drug and the DUI court system in the state, something that we have seen over the years that has been a true benefit, that it keeps the people within the community. It keeps the people with their families. It's a savings on social services. Very critical that we can keep that going, and we're expanding that program. One of the first times we've had the opportunity to do that. We're also picking up some of more dollars, putting more dollars into the tech schools. That ties into the South Dakota WINS program, helping those folks in providing the education that we need to educate our workforce as we go forward. We also put some money into a new project, the oil seed project, looking at J5 and J7 fuel. Sometimes you get a quick return, sometimes it takes a long time to get a return. But today, as we pass that amendment, Dr. Kevin Kephart was in Washington, D.C., meeting with the Navy. And when they heard what South Dakota was doing, only $450,000, but that sent a huge message. They made connections with other people to help match those dollars. That can put South Dakota, not just this year, but into the future, to be able to participate in providing that 330 million gallons of biofuel that can be used in our Navy fleet, rather than purchasing it from those who may not be great friends of ours. That was a quick response. We already have a match of $250,000 to that $450,000. Now, that's not going to happen every year, folks, but what a great day that we can get that kind of return that quick. By 2020, the Navy will be using 50% biofuel. South Dakota can be the producer of that. So it's a small investment to get us going, and I'd urge the support of 197. Thank you.
Further remarks. Senator Adelstein.
Thank you. I misheard the name. Well, I, too, will not be able to vote for this bill, not because we didn't have an outstanding, clear-thinking, strong and hard-hitting Appropriations Committee from this House. I am terribly disappointed at the legislature in total. I'm terribly disappointed at those I even see in the balcony who invoked the Rule 712 to defy the decision and wishes of this body. I certainly agree with you, Senator, that for us to put money into reserves that could have made a difference when we had excessive cuts last year was an unfortunate thing to do. But in no way can I say that I'm not proud to be a member of this body, this Senate, and be led by the kind of leaders that we see in the back two chairs. Outstanding, outstanding, outstanding. You did all that you could within the rules, and I guess as long as that flag flies, we all have to obey some of the rules.
Further remarks. Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. President. First off, thank you to the folks that dedicate your time to the appropriations process. It's fun for me to reminisce with somebody like former Senator Paul Simmons, and even as we look at this past few days, some of that even reminds me of when he had the chance to not only lead that committee, but there's folks out there that you work on the issues, you zone in very closely, and want to do what's right for South Dakota, and that's why. Even as a former senator mentioned, we ought to be proud to be a part of this institution. At the same time, we know that our time here is short-lived. Many of us are probably halfway ready to head home and make it back to the home country and be back to what I consider reality. But we're out here to do a service. We're out here to perform a duty. And I think it's something that, just to reflect back to our appropriators, in all respect to you folks, thank you for taking the time to hear the citizens of South Dakota. Thank you for taking the time to look at what's needed and what is in the best interest. At the same time, I think there's something that is very fresh on my mind, and it's hard in this day and age of not only term limits, but also in this day and age where the voters also are nice enough to let some of us that are a little more youthful in our looks, at least, perhaps, or we try to be anyways, but maybe not. You can take that further, I guess, if you want. But in this day and age, though, where we have to learn the legislative process very fast, I think it's something that we, if you just reflect for a moment, and I think we had a little bit of this discussion, of course, the other day, but if you can simply look at whether a person is going to look from a more policy perspective and what you think is going to be best, or are you going to allow the personalities and trying to get, digging in very much further into what may be under some sort of underlying theme. My conscience is clear by offering my opposition to this piece of legislation we have before us. Some of you may think that it's not the the right way to follow through with the process. Well, you know what? We're here. We know we get 40 days for legislative session, and we are here today, and obviously still very early in what some years have been. I remember even coming out here to visit to pick up my sister, who was a page, and they had covered the clock and worked through and late into the hours. This bill is in its first stage of the two-house process in terms of having that final approval. But voting no today does not symbolize that we don't want to continue to look for ways on how we can invest the very few tax dollars that come here into our state coffers. At the same time, our partners that are out there, whether it's the local school boards, the Medicaid providers, especially the community health support systems that are out there. You know, those folks have been working on their budgets just like all of us have looked at our personal budgets, and all of us have taken a look at the state budget that we have before us that's in this bill of Senate Bill 197. It's not news to us that we have to be frugal with the dollars we have. It's not news for anyone here in South Dakota, and obviously we're proud of that. At the same time, when if you compare it in terms of looking at interest rates at the all-time low and holding money back and keeping it stashed away, as opposed to seeing where you can get that true return on investment, those of us that may be voting no today, I think, would agree that we know that those dollars mean more when they are back out into the economy here in South Dakota, especially with our partners that continue to maximize the usefulness of those dollars. Having said that, we are aware of the uncertainty that exists out there. But it still is very fresh in my mind that the drive that I made back last year from Pierre, looking across the countryside and knowing that we're weathering the storm here in South Dakota. And obviously from a drought perspective, this moisture we had, and I have yet to witness the foot of snow we have back home, which was very heavy, and even more than that, is very much welcome. We still should have that element of confidence that things will work out. And that's why our partners in providing the needed services to citizens of South Dakota should continue to know that we need to give them that confidence. With that, Mr. President, thank you very much for your indulgence here. And I know as we close out, and I have been thinking these last few days about our good friend from Brown County and my seatmate, and those of you that will be finishing out your term, and those of us that hope to be back, and whoever else, how things may work, I am very proud of this institution. So thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. I want to start off my remarks tonight with something I failed to do last year, and that's thank my colleague from across the aisle here from Wilmont for just being himself. He comes out here and he does a great job for his constituents. He fights hard, and he doesn't kidney punch every time that he could when there's a political move to be made or to always argue on the party line. I know he's got a tough position to be in. I mean, I sat next to Senator Bradford for 2 years. Keeping him in line is a tough job. So, you know, when you are tight, as this whole group is, every one of us nods when you say we want to do what's best for South Dakota. There's an anybody going, not me. I don't care about South Dakota. I don't care about education and Medicaid providers. I don't care about any of that stuff. I'm out here for me. We don't do that. And I do want to thank him and his crew for being that way. When you don't see bulging veins coming out of people's necks in this body, and there's decorum for a reason. We all respect each other. We respect the process. But I got to tell you, to have the effort that goes into Senate Bill 197 get a no vote, because it's never enough. It's never enough. We always come back to that. It's just we're not doing enough. The $4 million that's on the line right now is 0.3% of our budget. 0.3%. We had, at the beginning of the year, laid out 4 different principles that we wanted to accomplish as the Senate Republicans. We wanted to maintain South Dakota's number one business-friendly climate. We wanted to have, as Senator Brown said, a structurally balanced budget. We've done that. We're continuing to do that. We also said that when we have revenue that is in excess of our expenditures, we're going to invest your tax dollars and mine and everybody else that's out there that we represent, we're going to invest them in the best programs available to help South Dakota be better. We also said we were going to take a look at programs that were out there. If they weren't working, you're done. But if you are working, we're going to enhance those programs and make them better. We've done that in a lot of different things. There's four or five different bills this year that dealt with research parks and innovation and collaboration, taking ideas that are sometimes fostered at the higher ed level, collaborating with private enterprise and using students to bring products to a marketable form. Those dollars that we invest in research in South Dakota, folks, come back in a 4-to-1 ratio for us. That's where we have to make our investments. Another thing that we invested in this year, was the Ellsworth Air Force. $500,000, I believe, that we invested to the Ellsworth Authority to help protect South Dakota's number two employer. $300 million. I've heard my good friend from Rapid City proudly say how much of an economic impact the Ellsworth Air Force Base has on our state. $300 million. And we're investing $500,000 to help make sure that if there is another base closure, we've taken the necessary steps. And as my good friend from Brookings County said, that return on the investment, it shows people in Washington that we're serious out here. $500,000 will show them that we're serious about protecting our number two business employer. I want to thank Governor Dugard for challenging every one of us to think about what's best for our children, what's best for the best teachers in this state. I also want to thank the governor for coming up with the South Dakota Wins Initiative. I don't think this has got nearly as the attention that it should have. Getting South Dakotans to stay in South Dakota, again, who doesn't want that? Keeping our kids here, keeping our grandkids here in this state. And guess what? If those jobs are filled up, we'd love to brag about our unemployment rate in this state. Everybody in South Dakota likes to work. It's half of the national unemployment rate. But if we can't fill jobs, there's certain jobs that we can't fill. I believe we need to invest in more education for skilled laborers. I also believe that if we can't fill those jobs, we need to bring them in from somewhere else. Bringing in 1,000 new people, 1,000 new South Dakotans, will have a $100 million economic impact on our state. That's the type of investments we need to be making, folks. We're investing tax dollars. We're not rat-holing them away. We're investing tax dollars, and that's what 197 is all about. I also want to thank the governor for recognizing how important our state employees are. As a former state employee, I was here before when we got zeroed. There was no debate. There wasn't any conversations to be had about, oh, well, I don't get a raise. Okay, Governor Janklow, I guess we'll go along with that. Because you knew the alternative. Beat it. These folks, and many of them, have weathered that economic storm for 3 years without a cost of living increase. And now we've put together a plan that was started over in the House, improved in the Senate, that helps those folks get an average of $2,300 for over 70% of our state employees are going to get a raise to help or a bump, one-time bump, to thank them for weathering the storm for us. There's so many investments that we've made in 197 that I can't see how you can vote against it. I'd urge your favorable support for 197.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 197. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Adelstein.
No.
Bogalka. Bradford.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
No.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frerichs. Prisley,
aye.
Gray, Hansen,
aye.
Haberly,
aye.
Heineman,
aye.
Holeen,
aye.
Hunstad, Hunhoff,
aye.
Johnston,
aye.
Junkie, Kraus, Krebs,
aye.
Lederman,
aye.
Maher,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Nordstrom,
aye.
Nygaard, Olson,
aye.
Peters,
aye.
Putnam,
aye.
Rampelberg,
aye.
Rave,
aye.
Roden,
aye.
Schleckaway,
aye.
Sutton,
no.
Tiedemann,
aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 24, nays 5, excused 6.
Senate Bill 197, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed approved. Messages.
Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has appointed Representatives Roush, Lust, and Bernie Hanhoff as a committee of three on the part of the House to meet with the like committee on the part of the Senate to wait upon His Excellency the Governor to inform him that the legislature has completed its labors, is ready to adjourn sine die, and to ascertain if he has any further communications to make to the legislature. Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has appointed Representatives Roush, Lust, and Bernie Hanhoff as a committee of three on the part of the House to meet with a like committee on the part of the Senate pertaining to fixing the time of adjournment sine die for the 87th legislative session. Karen Gerdes, Chief Clerk.
Motions.
Senator Olson moves that when we adjourn today, we adjourn to convene at 10 a.m. on Monday, March 19th, the 33rd legislative day.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. We'll be at ease for House action on 197.